Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 45, verses 35 and 36. Sarvam Naravara Shesta, Sarva Vidya Pravartaka, Sakrinigara Matrena, Tasam Jagratu Nripa. Ahoratraishchatushasya Sanyata Thavati Kala Guru Dakshinacharyam Shanyang Asatu Nirpa Sarvam, everything. Naravara, first-class men. Shrestau, the best. Sarvam, of all. Vidyam, branches of knowledge. Pravartakau, the initiators. Sakrit, ones. Nigada, being related. Matrena, simply. How? They. Sanjagritau, fully assimilated. Nripa, O King, Parikshit. In days. Ratrai, nights. Chatushastya, 64. Sanyata, fixed in concentration. Tavati, that many. Kala, arts. Guru Dakshinaya, with the traditional gifts for the spiritual master before one leaves him. Acharyam, their teacher. Chandayam, asatu, they satisfied. Nripa, O King. Translation. O King, those best of persons, Krishna and Balaram, being themselves the original promulgators of all varieties of knowledge, could immediately assimilate each and every subject after hearing it explained just once. Thus, with fixed concentration, they learned the 64 arts and skills in as many days and nights. Thereafter, O King, they satisfied their spiritual master by offering him Guru Dakshina. Purport. The following list comprises the 64 subjects mastered by Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram in 64 days. Additional information may be found in Srila Prabhupada's Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lords learned Gitam, singing, Vadyam, playing on musical instruments, Nrityam, dancing, Natyam, drama, Alekyam, painting, Visheshaka, Chedyam, painting the face and body with colored unguents and cosmetics, Tandula, Kusuma, Bali, Vikara, preparing auspicious designs on the floor with rice and flowers. Pushpastaranam, making a bed of flowers. Dashama, vasangangara raga, colouring one's teeth, clothes and limbs. Mani, bhumika karma, inlaying a floor with jewels. Savyarachanam, covering bed. Udaka vajam, ringing water pots. Udaka ghata, splashing with water. Chitra yoga, mixing colors. Malya gratana vikalpa, preparing wreaths. Shekharapida yojanam, setting a helmet on the head. Nepatya yoga, putting up an apparel in a dressing room. Karanapatra Bhanga, decorating the earlobe. Suganda Yukti, applying aromatics. Bhushanayojanam, decorating with jewelry. Aindarjalam, jugglery. Kauchamara Yoga, the art of disguise. Hasta Laghavam, sleight of hand. Chitra Sankapupa Bhaktya Vikare Kriya, preparing varieties of salad, bread cake and other delicious food. Anakarasa Ragasva Yojanam, preparing palatable drinks and tinging draughts with red colour. Suchivaya Karma, needlework and weaving. Sutra Krida, making puppets dance by manipulating thin threads. Veena Damaruka Vajani, playing on a lute and a small X-shaped drum. Prahelika, moving and solving riddles, making and solving riddles. Pratimala, capping verses or reciting poem verse for verse as a trial of memory or skill. Durvachaka Yoga, uttering statements difficult for others to answer. Pustaka Vachanam, reciting books. And Natika Kayakika Darshanam, enacting short plays and writing anecdotes. Krishna Balaram also learned Kavya Samasya Puranam, solving enigmatic verses. Patikavitra Bhana Vikalpa, making a bow from a strip of cloth and a stick. Tarkukarma, spinning with a spindle. Takshanam, carpentry. Vastavidya, architecture. Raupya Ratna Pariksha, testing silver and jewels. Dhatuvara, metallurgy. Mani Ragat Gyanam, tinging jewels with various color. Akara Gyanam, mineralogy. Vrikshayurveda Yoga, herbal medicine. Mesha Kukutta Lavaka Yudha Vidhi, the art of training and engaging rams, cocks and quails in fighting. Shukasarika Pralapanam, knowledge of how to train male and female parrots to speak and to answer the questions of human beings. Utsaranam, healing a person with ointments. Kesha Marjana Kaushalyam, hairdressing. Akshara Mustika Katanam, telling what is written in a book without seeing it and telling what is hidden in another's fist. Mlechita Kutarka Vikalpa, fabricating barbarous or foreign sophistry. Desha Bhasa Gyanam, knowledge of provincial dialects. Pushpa Satika Nirmiti Gyanam, knowledge of how to build toy carts with flowers. Yantra Matrika, composing magic squares, arrangements of numbers adding up to the same total in all directions. Dharana Matrika, the use of amulets. Samvacham, conversation. Manasi Kavya Kriya, composing verses mentally. Kriya Vikalpa, designing a literary work or a medical remedy. Chalitaka Yoga, building shrines. Abhidhaya Lakosha Chando Gyanam, lexicography and the knowledge of poetic meters. Vastragopanam, disguising one kind of cloth to look like another. Juta Vishesham, knowledge of various forms of gambling. Akshara Kridha, playing dice. Balaka Kridhanakam, playing with children's toys. Vainyaki Vidya, enforcing discipline by mystic power. Vaijaiki Vidya, gaining victory. And Vaitaliki Vidya, awakening one's master with music at dawn. Sarvam Naravrav Shishtav, Sarva Vidya Pravartakam, sakrinyagada matrina tau jangrihatu nipa ahora chaisato shishtya sangyatav tavati kala guru dakshinacharyam chandayam asatur nipa. O King, those best of persons, Krishna and Balaram, being themselves the original promulgators of all varieties of knowledge, could immediately assimilate each and every subject after hearing it explained just once. Thus, with fixed concentration, they learned the 64 arts and skills in as many days and nights. Thereafter, O King, they satisfied their spiritual master by offering him Guru Dakshina. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Purtalesima Dvakti Nathasa Namaste Sarasat Deva Guru. Even Krishna and Balaram, being themselves the personalities of Godhead, set the example by approaching a spiritual master who taught them everything. As we can see from this list, and as you have seen yesterday and the day before, they were taught not only here Dharma Shastra. They were taught how to debate, and in this list is a surprising combination of skills ranging from playing with children's toys to solving enigmatic riddles to making a bow, and it's an amazing combination of skills that they were taught. And we can see when reading Krishna book that these skills were used. Skills of deception, for example. Skills in the diplomatic arts. So it's just not to learn how to be a philosopher and to be know how to debate and know how to defeat your enemies in a discussion, but it's also an art of how to become a human being, a full-rounded human being. These you might think that it sounds a little strange, for example, that a man, Krishna and Balaram, have to learn how to make auspicious designs on the floor with rice and flowers, or making a bed even. Coloring one's teeth, coloring one's clothes, coloring one's limbs, and also in laying a floor with jewels. What do these skills have to do with being a spiritual person, and in this case, of course, the personalities of Godhead? Well, it's a pretty well-rounded education, I would say. Teaching one how to actually be a human being. A human being. How to appreciate and see, you know, from these all these skills. Appreciating God in everything. Just like yesterday, I was taking one of these guided tours in Melbourne of, it's called the 1 mile, whatever it's called. You walk around and you see the history of Melbourne, how it was first started by 9 persons. Within 30 years, it was a bustling city. And within 60 years, it was one of the biggest cities in the world. And the money that was flowing in here, the opulences that were flowing in here, they built these beautiful houses that are unfortunately being demolished and replaced by something that's less magnificent. But this art of actually glorifying God in everything you do and seeing Krishna in everything, even in a nice decoration in the temple or otherwise, belongs to the skills belong to a human being. Human being is defined as someone that actually has a desire to see the Lord, a desire to follow and develop a love for Godhead. Otherwise, we have another class of men who will not see the Lord in everything that they do and say. And they also create accordingly. We can see judge the tree by its fruits, as it is said. And by looking around us, we can see what is done. What is done with a humble heart and for promoting God consciousness. What is done to remind people of God and love of God. And it becomes sometimes very difficult when you see the creations of godless people. You really have to strain how to make that into something that reminds you of Krishna. And yet that is the duty of all of us as devotees, as we remember from the Chatushloki in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that everything that we see is actually Krishna. So, but they make it so difficult for us nowadays to see Krishna. Walking around in a materialistic society, they make it difficult. But of course, by making it difficult, then we have to endeavor even more. So in that way, I guess, one should be grateful for their work. But by forcing us at every moment to make this a intelligible, or make this a world that actually makes sense, has become difficult. Because all the time we are thwarted, all the time we are thrown off the center to be reminded of this and this and that, instead of all these things, all the architecture, all the music and everything being directing us towards the center, we are thrown out into the periphery. But devotees are not devotees if they weren't trying very hard. And like I said, it sometimes becomes very difficult when you see the creations of a godless society. But this, reading all these 64 skills here, shows us actually how to become a human being, someone whose life is dedicated to knowledge and for love of Godhead. And even knowledge, it is described in the Bhagavad Gita. What is the use of knowledge unless it's connected with Krishna, unless it's connected with love of Krishna, love of Godhead? Even when we read the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where the whole creation is just revealed in such a fearsome, dazzling way. Arjuna is standing there and he's trembling. All the demigods in the upper worlds are trembling. The demons are trembling. The whole world is trembling. Krishna is showing us the whole creation, past, present and future. Everything is there in that form that he showed Arjuna. And if we think that the creations in a modern city makes it difficult to remember God, that form, even Arjuna could not stand. Even Arjuna was bewildered by that form. The demigods and the rishis, they were bewildered. It was like the concentration of everything. So, to see from that, the universal form of Krishna, they see the material coverings, the different types of material coverings makes it very, very difficult. And so Krishna is actually giving Arjuna special eyes to see that, and then Arjuna in his bewilderment asked to see the Shaumyarupa, the beautiful form of the Lord, and then he calms down, and the whole creation just calms down when Krishna again shows that beautiful form. So that from this we learn many things, of course, and of course the chapter ends also about, well, I've shown you this form which contains everything. Everything is there. But now I'm showing you the beautiful form and the two verses that ends the 11th chapter. Simply surrender and serve Krishna. Bhaktyama. Just don't worry about the bewildering material nature. What is the use of it if it doesn't bring us closer to Krishna? And that's a question that is very, that we are, it's beneficial for us to ask as we are wandering around in this world. How will this bring me closer to Krishna? This person is saying that and is giving us so much difficulty. This thing is happening, bringing us so much difficulty. How is that bringing me closer to Krishna? Rather than falling prey to the ways of the duskinas, which means, why are you doing this to me? Why is this and that? Always blaming everybody. We should ask that question of a devotee, which means, how is this bringing me closer to Krishna? And we are forced to answer that question. And the answer is never difficult. How is this bringing me closer to Krishna? The answer is never difficult because the answer is very, very simple. We have to examine our false egos. Sometimes it's thrown in our faces. And then act according to the instructions of Krishna. Serving and loving Krishna. This reminds me, the whole material creation reminds us of we are spirit soul. And it reminds us of the futile nature of the race to satisfy our senses at every moment without connecting it to Krishna. I've been also asked to speak a little bit about the beginnings of the Melbourne Temple. And it's very interesting because you might have read or heard so many stories by Kurma, my god brother, about this. But actually we had one interesting time here in the beginning, and we were asking ourselves that question very many times. Why is Krishna putting us in so much difficulty? Because we used to do Harinam here on the streets. We had a temple in Carlton first. It was a little house and a garage, and we made the garage into a temple. Then we moved to St. Kilda. But we used to do Harinam Sankirtan 6, 7, 8 hours a day. Walking around, driving everybody crazy. Walking around the streets, Swanston Street, up to Burke Street, and then down Elizabeth Street, and going around. Sometimes we make a little bigger turn. And distributing back to Godheads and other little leaflets that had been made up. But the city council officers were determined to get us off the streets. And they harassed us all the time. And for example, when distributing it back to Godhead, it was very important that you could give, you could put it back to Godhead in the person's hands, but you couldn't receive the money on the pavement. So what we had to do, we had to walk into a shop and stand exactly on the threshold, because you didn't want to anger the owner of the shop, and take the money there. And then they couldn't actually arrest us. So this is what's going on, and as soon as you couldn't really reasonably bring a person into the shop, and you, but you didn't want to lose the donation either, so you know, you took it and you ran, because you knew there was a city council officer just behind you, looking. And our favorite trick was to run into the shop and then all the way through into the little street behind. You know, I don't know, I can't remember the streets anymore. But then, of course, they got wise to that, so they had one man there too. And so I used to run into the ladies' department there and stand among the dresses, and of course the devotee, and they couldn't see them having a dhoti on. They lost us in the apartment department stores. But there was one man, we used to call him Square Jaw, because he looked, he every day for a year he walked around with us, listening to the holy name as we were chanting. And I think he must be the most Krishna conscious demon there is, because he really, and I wondered many times what happened to him. He's not here, is he? Joined the temple. No, he was really bent on harassing us and driving us out of town. And so what they used to do, they used to take us, get us, take our names. And of course, devotees invented all sorts of interesting names, like Prasharam Das. There was a foremost thing in that devotee's mind. And Halva Devi, and Pakora, we just all. And then what happens? So they got all the names, and when they had enough, they raided the temple. Sometime like 2 o'clock in the morning, they would come, shining torches in everyone's faces, and taking us out onto the veranda, and then having the police car ready. All right, step forward, Halva Das. And of course, no one stepped forward. So, so that tactic didn't work very well for them. So then, what happens was that they enlisted the help of the police, because you can't lie to a policeman about your name. So, because then you're in trouble. So they dragged a policeman every time, and the police got so sick of that. They had more important things to do, they thought, than take our names. But we ended up in different problems and jail and all sorts of things. And then we couldn't stay with the Harinam, we couldn't stop on the streets because there was obstructing the traffic. And so we had to move all the time. And that was hard work for 6, 7, 8 hours a day. So we had to stop sometimes, and then immediately they were there. So we discovered that the post office is not state property, it is federal property, federal government. So we stood and rested on the post office steps and chanted until about a month or two later they brought in the federal police. You can see the resources of the country were actually engaged in Krishna's service here. It was very interesting times. But we did have to ask ourselves that question. What, Krishna, please, what is the meaning of all this? How will this bring us closer? But I think it did. I'm still a devotee. It helped me to see that actually we are all the time protected. One of the most spectacular things we did in those days was to arrange a marriage in the city square. Is it still called the city square? Mm-hmm. It's become much smaller than I remember it. They put up a building down there, haven't they? Yeah, because this is 35 years ago. I remember as a vast place, which was intolerably hot sometimes, and sometimes before you got off the square you'd be drenching wet, depending on the change of weather. But we put on a wedding there, totally illegal of course. In those days we didn't ask anyone except Krishna. So built up a stage, and we had Mohananda come to do the ceremony. He came from Sydney, and the mother of the bride, parents of the bride were there, and it was going fine. You know, and then we see a ring of city councillors coming closer and closer. And I told Mohananda, this is what's happening. So he did everything nicely, did the ceremony, and will you take this, blah, blah, blah. And they all got married, and here's the bride, and he said, shook hands with the parents and ran. Immediately ran. And afterward, the city councillors came. It was such an interesting sight. And then they jumped in. They had a little mini Cooper van, you know, one of these minivans. And they drove after him. He ran in the small streets, and they afterwards. And then he had to run into the shops as usual. But it was such a sight. And the parents of the bride were totally astonished. Had no idea what was going on, what was happening. It was a really spectacular thing pulled off by the Hare Krishnas. I don't know, I can't remember if there are any photographs in the newspapers. Do you know? Is there any photographs left from that? Very, very, very interesting days. And of course, the most wonderful thing was when Prabhupada came and held his lectures in the town hall, which was very surprising that they would let us rent it, but they did. So the beginnings of the temple here in Melbourne was actually, we were young, you know, this was a great adventure for us, great adventure. And with the feeling, you know, like, I suppose it's the same nowadays, and I suppose you have the same, that feeling that just totally depend on Krishna, totally believing in Prabhupada. And for someone that's outside the society, they really cannot understand what it means to have full faith in someone. Full faith. Ready to do anything that Prabhupada said and wanted. Anything. With that conviction, you become practically unstoppable. You can do miracles with that conviction. And this is something that people find very difficult when they examine us from the outside. They think a lot of strange things about our way of doing things. Because they have not experienced what it means to act in full faith. And we know the Shraddha, to have faith, is the main thing, yeah, in our process. We may chant and chant, but if there actually is no faith, real deep-seated faith, it will take a long time to chip away all the layers of materialistic thoughts, feelings, desires. Our Lord Buddha said that the world is suffering, and the cause of suffering is desire. Sometimes I translate myself for myself what that means. What does this desire mean? Well, we obviously desire for wealth, desire for the opposite sex and so forth, obviously. But what is causing the suffering? As I work as a hypnoanalyst, I work with psychotherapy, I've discovered that a really major cause of suffering comes from expectations. You come out into this world and you expect so much. You expect to be happy. You expect someone else to make you happy. And you expect a thing to make you happy. So you keep acquiring people and things. And of course, that's not possible, because happiness comes from a totally different source. But these expectations really cause misery. These desires, expectations. I see that as about the same thing. So the expectations have to be changed. And that cannot be done, as far as I see it, unless there is faith. Why would you want to change the expectations if you don't know? Because anything about anything different. If you have one mindset, why would you want to change it to another mindset? Well, expectations. That it's going to be better over here. And that doesn't work, you go here. So, to actually become steady in one place is so difficult. So difficult. And the great aid here that we have is faith. Shraddha. Faith. And as far as I can see, we've been so lucky because we had Srila Prabhupada. And it's I'm speaking for myself, being his disciple, and I'm nearly 100% sure that you feel the same, that is a person that you can have faith in. Because you never saw Srila Prabhupada let us down. You never saw him fall down. You only saw him being Krishna conscious. You only saw him being compassionate, sometimes angry, but still compassionate. Sometimes very loving, compassionate. Sometimes just sitting there and just emanating this compassion. So that is someone to have absolute faith in. And I know nowadays, I don't usually go on the internet very much to look for different devotee sites, but there are some people that really throw out some doubts about Srila Prabhupada did this and this and that, bring up Guru Kul, this and that and the other. But it doesn't really matter what they say, because in the essence of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada as a person, or someone you can have absolute faith in. And you saw, and you've seen, and this temple, and so many other temples, are the result of this faith. Miracles can be done. So I don't know what you have to do to develop this strong, strong inner faith. I think that in one sense it was easier, because we had Srila Prabhupada in front of us. You have your respective gurus, and so the same principle applies. You have Srila Prabhupada here. But to actually have seen such a person gave that faith very, very deep in the heart, where it really will take a lot for it to move. So it's this type of faith that we have to strive for, because that will weather all the storms. And why? Because it's not dependent on anything outside of us. It's simply dependent on something within us, and that no one can take away. I remember we were thrown in jail in Sydney for chanting, and they were so abusive. the police. So abusive. And what did the devotees do? We just sang. We sang, and it was actually a beautiful echo in the lockup in Sydney. So we had the girls over there. We could hear them singing away, and oh, it was a very beautiful kirtan we had. And bhajans in there. So any place with a little faith, you can turn it into a temple, a place of worship. Even the Sydney downtown lockup. So that faith, whatever we have, whatever is necessary to bring us to that platform of faith, we should accept it. We should accept it. And we may explore naturally, like I said, we explore and we move in the world, but it has to be centered somehow or not. Some place it has to be centered. And that is in the personalities of Godhead, in the person of their servant, Srila Prabhupada. Miracles. So that's one of the things this city reminded me of walking around yesterday, looking at how they built these buildings and comparing it to today, and also remembering as we were walking the streets, oh yeah, this is where I used to run and hide. Oh yeah, this is it was a very interesting afternoon I spent yesterday here. Things have changed, and maybe you have your own hiding places, but I don't think you're harassed like that anymore. You're harassed by a different type of demons today. But it is good. It is all good. It really is all good. It all just serves to remind us of who we are. I remember actually sneaking off sometimes to the, I don't know if it's still there, the library up in Collins Street of the Theosophical Society. Is it still there?
Yes.
Okay, really? Pardon?
Russell Street.
Russell Street, that's right. Okay, and I was reading, being a naughty devotee, I was reading Paul Brunton. As he was The Secrets of India, I think it was called. And now that, the reason I did that was because as I, before becoming a devotee, I read Paul Brunton, and he quoted from the Mundaka Upanishad. Quote, I wanted to find that again. Because now, you know how in Jnana Yoga, Raja Yoga, you do a lot of just meditation on specific, for example, verses or points of philosophy and how revelation comes to you. And I experienced that as a non-devotee, and since then I always try to go back to that experience of being in a relationship with the Lord. And it was hidden in that verse in the Mundaka Upanishad, so I was sneaking away to the library to find that verse. I didn't find it again at that time. I found it later though. But I mean, looking, what brings me closer to Krishna, and sometimes you burn your fingers here and you burn your back there, but by having faith and being centered around what the goal of life is and who I am, we may take risks for Krishna. We may take risks for our spiritual life. Whatever it takes to keep us in the right frame of mind, Krishna conscious frame of mind, we accept. I mean, there are many stories, I don't know, you probably have read them all in Kurama's book or other devotees have been telling you. But we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. And that's also another characteristic of Krishna consciousness. You're happy. And in my work, I see sometimes we do regressions to past lives, or they happen spontaneously with someone in a deeper state of mind. And I think it's a great thing for people to experience, a great thing for people to understand that there are many lives. We go through many lives. One of the great things is that you learn to stop yearning for things that you don't have. You learn to stop envying people for what they have, or you know, because you can always say, "Oh, this person is so learned. He's so rich. I wish I was so learned. I wish I was so rich. I wish I had this. And I wish I had that." But the point is, we've had it. There's so many lifetimes. We've had this. I've been rich. I've been poor. I've been learned. I've been non-learned. I've had all these things. So what is there to envy? What is there to desire? Done it all. So it's an important point for us to experience and to sometimes not experience, but to just to know that we have several lives. We have to give up our admiration and desire for things that we don't have. We've done it. We even died so many lives just to come to this point, to the most essential point. Who am I? And what is my relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So, with that, I'd like to finish. And if there are any questions, yes.
Very nice. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It'd be interesting to note you were saying how in the early days you were harassed so much by the council, but things have changed around so much now that you can go to the council and you get in Melbourne here, you can get a free month busking permit to like Chandler Street in Melbourne.
Yes, actually I am. I learned of that. I moved away from Perth. I moved. From here to Sydney and then to Perth, and I heard, wow, they got permission to chant in Melbourne. So that was something, and now they have the restaurants just opposing the city council and everything. Fantastic change. Yeah. So perseverance, it works. You do Harinam on the streets still? Thank you for that question. Yes, sir.
It is said that holy name should be heard only from the pure devotee. But we can't hear holy name all the time from the pure devotee. So what should we do? Can you explain on this?
Well, you've heard it once. You've heard Srila Prabhupada chant. You cannot come here and not to hear it. So you have heard. And the rest will remind you of Srila Prabhupada's pure name, chanting, Prabhupada chanting that. So you have heard it. I mean, the perfection is there, the seed is there. And so you're blessed. But like what I do, I mean, I try to... this might be a little offensive, I don't know, but... sometimes, you know, when I see that devotees are just being agents of Srila Prabhupada, and really, we may not be pure. I am definitely not pure. We may not be pure, but we are agents. You know, we are agents. And as such, the message that we bring brings the message of the pure master, brings the message of Krishna. So I think you should consider it to be pure. Even though it comes from someone like me or someone like this, even yourself when you're preaching to your friends, consider that to be direct, from the direct order of Srila Prabhupada. I was thinking also so many, well, just even recently, I was coming out with this destructive doubt. Something's going to happen to this microphone. I was thinking, it's a doubt that has come into my life very often, and that doubt is, who am I? Who am I to speak? Prabhupada, of course, in his full right, but who am I to speak? Yeah. I've got to be and then speak. But that wasn't Prabhupada's way. Thank you. That wasn't Prabhupada's way. Do and become. Just follow the order and become. Follow the order and become. I believe that. In my darker moments, I tend to forget that. But in my heart, actually, I believe that. Do and become. I don't know if you, how you reacted the first time you heard Prabhupada sing the Sansara prayers. Do you remember how you reacted? You don't remember. I was struck. Such beauty and such profound conviction and love. Now we've heard from the pure devotee, and we are just agents. Prabhupada used to say, what was the word he used to say? Peons, isn't it? Is that an English word? It is, isn't it? Peons. We deliver, and the delivery may be imperfect, but the message that is being delivered is perfect. Thank you. Yes.
Also, we've got Prabhupada's books as well. So, we frequently use association and we read Prabhupada's books as vehicle agents. They then instruct us on how to properly study the books. If we read the books, we need to get it right.
True.
And we also have Srila Prabhupada's books, which means that we always can have Srila Prabhupada's association, which is the most common form through his books, and also through his disciples who are following his instruction. So, I mean,
true. But you must admit, there is a special quality of hearing Prabhupada chant. The name itself, it really strikes a chord within us. But I agree with you fully. Yes. Yes.
Going back to the Hare Narayana talking about, it seems like maybe a lot of us have got to realize the potency. Harinam Sangatam, I guess you get a lot of people these days all the time saying, where are you guys? And they're surprised to see us there. Sometimes they say, I haven't seen you for 30 years and we really would love to see you out here. You should come out more often. We're not doing as much Harinam as we used to when we were here in the early days, but people really actually love it and they want us out there more here.
Yes, actually I hear this from a lot of cities. People are saying that, where are you? Where are you people nowadays? Yes. But you know, I was reminded, as Bhaktadas was reading leading the kirtan just a minute. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. That's what used to be our favorite. Because it's so rhythmic, it's so walking. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. And I really don't hear that anywhere else in the world, do you? That melody, Narahari, do you?
No, it's not.
Yeah. And I also brought it to Sweden because I think it originated here, I'm not sure, in Sydney and here. Just threw me back immediately, 35 years as you were singing that. Thank you very much for that. And it's just perfect for walking Harinam, that melody. And actually I remember Madhavisa Swami in Sydney he was trying to train the brahmacharis up in some sort of paramilitary group, and he's walk right to that chanting. But it's nicer to sway rather than march, I think. That is the way of Krishna, you know, the serpent way. Yes.
Just a few of us people are now standing on this big seven. And people were saying, I haven't seen us for years out there. And we went through the market, so the big market, thousands of people, all sorts of ethnic races, and people were so happy to see us out there. Well, we managed to get around the whole market, we managed to secure it, and just didn't count to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So they've changed uniforms, have they? Yeah. Same people. Just different uniforms. And we are the same uniform. Yeah, nice. I'm a firm believer in Harinam Sankirtan.
I think Supreme Joe was around for quite a number of years.
Was he?
Because when I mentioned his name to a Chinturupa, and he was really quiet, he said, yeah, we know Supreme Joe. He was chasing us around.
You know Square Joe too? Oh yeah. Good friend of ours. What happened to him? Oh yes. I've never seen such an angry person before. You know, he was really an angry man. Oh. Anything else? Jai, Shri Prabhupada ki.
Jai.